Bipods, this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday we are going to talk about a piece of equipment that is kind of central to precision rifle shooting. That's not to mean that you can't get by without it, but the bipod really helps build a solid, stable base for precision rifle shooting. And it may not be just on prone positions. It may be from a bench. It may be from a barricade or a barrel top or tire stack or any number of things. But there are a huge number of bipods on the market, and we're not going to talk about them all. We're just going to talk about a couple of the features on bipods that I look for and that I prefer. Now, there's the key word. Prefer. A lot about bipods comes down to personal preference, what you like. A lot of it will come around to your body size, your positions, the different shooting positions that you like, because different bipods have different strengths and weaknesses on different positions. One of the key things that we find when we're looking at bipods originally is bipod height. Now you notice that right now, the buttstock of this rifle is sitting on the bench, and the muzzle is pretty well elevated, and that's because I have a Magpul bipod here underneath the Pro 700 chassis, and this bipod does not allow you to get really low. It's more oriented for a hunting-type situation, and so it starts out a little bit higher, and it goes higher from there. That's not to say that you can't use this bipod from a prone position. I was shooting this the other day very accurately from a prone position. It just means I have to use a higher rear bag. Now, this is a slight disadvantage for me because I can get fairly low to the ground with my body type. But for shooters that are carrying a little bit more around the middle, that low position is not really comfortable. It can cause strain on the neck, strain on the upper back. It can cause strain on the diaphragm to where you're not breathing really well. So some shooters like that prefer to have a little bit higher body position. If you need a higher body position, you're going to start with the buttstock higher. You're going to need the bipod to start at a higher position. It doesn't really make sense to have a super low bench rest bipod on the front if you're always going to have the rear of the rifle elevated. So that height position really is somewhere where you need to start out with. Try some of the smaller bipods, like the Caldwell 6-9 that we have here, or the Harris BRMS 6-9. These are staples of precision rifle shooting. When you get into the Atlas bipods, the Atlas start out a little bit higher than the Harris, but the Atlas have the added advantage of you can buy leg extensions to snap onto them to get a higher overall bipod if you want. Now, of course, that pushes things into a different price position from the Caldwell or the Harris or even the Magpul bipod up into the Atlas. When we're talking Harris bipods, you're talking around that sub-$100 mark, depending upon specifically which features you get. And again, we'll talk about more features here in a minute. You're right around there. The Magpul bipod is around the $100 range, depending upon what sales and what deals you can find them on. And the Atlas, they go up from there, depending upon which model of Atlas you get. The Atlas tend to be more in the top range premium bipods, but in my opinion, the fit and finish, the materials, and the fact that they're made in the U.S. by a U.S. company, that weighs heavily into my decision with Atlas bipods over others. So we talked about height. Let's talk about a couple of the individual features on tactical or precision rifle competition bipods. Hunting bipods, a lot of guys are really just looking for weight. They're looking for something that they can quickly steady their rifle. With precision rifle bipods, we need to be able to overcome a lot of different obstacles that we're going to be forced to shoot from. And we really need to be able to set the rifle in a very level position because as we reach out, any significant cant in the rifle one way or another is going to cause a deviation of our point of impact downrange. So we need to be able to level the rifle out, and usually we're running on the clock, so we need to do so quickly. So right off the bat, the basics, And again, this is the Harris BRMS 6-9, but this one has a couple of added accessories that we'll talk about. I've got a Sarge knob. It used to be from Alamo 4-star. They are now Zero Delta. And I have a Really Right Stuff Arca rail or dovetail and Picatinny adapter here. This is their pro adapter, which will allow me to either put this on a pick rail or put this on a dovetail, which has become a whole lot more popular amongst precision rifle shooters. I don't have a standard Harris sitting here, but usually they are just designed to attach to the sling swivel. When we're looking at the BRMS model, the key thing is the S, the swivel. And what we mean by the swivel is the ability for the bipod to go back and forth. So if I deploy the bipod here without pinching my fingers, notice it snapped out pretty solidly. Be careful with that. So if we have the bipod sitting here and we have the rifle on top, the swivel will allow us to go side to side. Now, very often people mistake swivel with pan. We'll talk about both here in a minute. But the swivel is what allows you to very quickly level the rifle out on uneven ground. There are quite a few cheaper models of Harris that do not have swivel on them. They are a fixed base, so the legs are fixed rigidly to the rifle, and you have to adjust that cant by adjusting the length of the legs. The Harris bipods that have no swivel on them will usually have an infinite adjustment on the legs, and then you have to tighten a thumb screw to lock the leg where you want. With the BRMS, since we have the swivel for fine-tuning the angle of the bipod, then we have a spring-loaded adjustment here with notches to where we can set the bipod at a gross adjustment to account for a little bit of offset, and then just twist the rifle on the swivel to even things out. Now, when these come right out of the box, there's a small thumb screw on here to adjust the tension. It's very difficult to lock out the swivel, so you always have a little bit of swivel on it until you upgrade to one of these larger knobs or a KMW podlock. The KMW podlock is a favorite. They originally started appearing for the Harris bipods, and then they have made their way over to the Atlas in the cowl bipod, which again, we'll get to here in a minute. The Alamo 4-star Sarge knob, or the Zero Delta Sarge knob, does a very similar job, but instead of having a lever sticking off of it, it's just an oversized knob. And when you tighten this down, you can actually tighten it to the point that you pretty much lock out any cant whatsoever, or any swivel, so that you have a nice fixed bipod. So if you are choosing a bipod for a precision rifle, I definitely recommend getting one with the swivel built into it. Do not get a fixed bipod. You will struggle under the clock to try to get your bipod leveled out perfectly if you don't have at least a little bit of swivel back and forth. So the Harris BRMS models, and they have the 6-9, they also have a higher model, I believe is a 9-13. Those both have the same kind of setup there. And again, they come ready to go on a fixed sling swivel, and you can find a myriad of accessories to adapt them to either Picatinny rail or dovetail or whatever you want to do. Now, let's talk about the Magpul bipod here real quick, because this is kind of the new kid on the block. This bipod has the swivel built into it, and the way you lock the swivel out is by this knob down here on the bottom of the bipod. Now, unlike the Harris, the Magpul bipod has a pan setup built into it as well. So you can just pan back and forth, and the bipod will smoothly allow you to go back and forth with the legs set into the ground. Now, the Harris still allows you to pan, But the Harris does that by allowing the legs to flex on these springs. So if the legs are dug into the ground and you pan the rifle, one leg will stay hard against the stop. The other leg will flex away from the stop on the spring. That can be good. It can be bad. It depends upon how good your body position is, because when you fire the rifle through recoil, you can have a little bit of whip back if you're not controlling the rifle really well. So I do like a panning feature in the bipod. Now, some people like it, some people don't like it. The disadvantage of the panning feature, and those of you guys that have used the Atlas PSR bipods for quite some time know this, is if you do a lot of panning back and forth, the legs have a tendency to walk until they are no longer perpendicular with the muzzle of the rifle. It's not a huge deal. In fact, you have to make quite a few traverses back and forth before they really walk to the point that it creates any stability issues. But it's annoying if you're doing long strings of fire and you have to reach up and keep adjusting where your legs are at. So I haven't used the Magpul bipod long enough to know if that's going to be an issue. But since the feet on the Magpul bipod do not rotate, I don't know if it's really going to be an issue with this one. I think once you set it in and get those feet dug in, it's probably not going to do it. Same thing with the Atlas, though, with the PSR bipod. If you end up with the feet dug in, then that whole panning thing is not an issue. Now, the Magpul bipod does have the panning and the swivel controlled by one control down here. So you have one wheel that locks this off, much like the PSR bipod, the Atlas PSR. What is different is the Magpul bipod actually has two different hinges, two different axes of movement. The swivel is controlled by one hinge pin up here, and the pan is controlled by another hinge pin that goes through the middle, whereas the Atlas PSR has kind of a ball gimbal set up to where everything is moving on one axis. You still end up tightening everything down by one wheel that tightens on one screw thread that goes down through the bipod. Now, what I did notice is I was not able to completely lock out the Magpul bipod. As tight as I crank this knob down, I still have a little bit of movement in it. I can still overpower it by actually moving the rifle. So those of you guys that are looking for bench rest type lockout to where the rifle is not going to move anywhere, you're not going to get that with the Magpul. There aren't a whole lot of bipods out there on the market that are going to allow you to totally lock out any movement in it. And for me, that's not a big deal. I actually prefer to be able to put a good deal of tension in it, but then still override everything without coming up and adjusting the controls on the bipod. So if I get into a position, I fired three or four shots, my bipod leg has dropped into a hole, I don't want to have to come up here and unlock things. I want to just be able to wrench the rifle over, get the bipod set to level again, and then continue my string of fire. Again, it's a personal preference. There are guys out there that want to be able to totally lock things out, and that's where you run into things like the pod locks and the Sarge knobs and that, where you can totally lock that feature out. And again, on the Harris, one of the reasons this bipod has been so popular for so long in precision rifle shooting is once you put a pod lock on it, you can pretty much lock out that swivel. I can tighten that down enough that I can't overpower it without picking the bipod up off the ground. So again, if you want to be able to lock that stuff out, that's a really neat option to have. Now, we're going to talk about leg positions really quickly, and I don't mean leg positions by height, I mean leg positions by extended or stowed. Now, you saw me pop out the legs on the Harris. I'm going to see if I can close them without pinching my fingers, but with the Harris, you have two positions. You have extended or you have stowed, and in the stowed position, The legs point forward. Do not get a Harris put on backwards with the legs backwards. Now, there are some really experienced precision rifle shooters that will turn the bipod around for very specific purposes. But unless you really know what you're doing, make sure that the legs fold forward on Harris or Harris-type bipods. The reason for that is that when you load the bipod, when you apply your body weight to the back of the rifle to resist recoil, with the legs forward, when they're folded down, they're pushing against these stops here. So the harder you push, the harder the bipod locks up against those stops, and the less likely it is that the legs are going to move. When you fire heavy recoiling rifles, the springs will take up a little bit, the bipod will move backwards a little bit, so the legs will come off the stops, but then the springs will return them back against the stops and you're good to go. I haven't seen a hard recoiling rifle that is shot properly that recoils hard enough to actually fold the bipod up. The benefit to that is, again, the harder you load the bipod, the harder the legs push against the stops. Now, the disadvantage of that is, you only have one position when the bipod's deployed. You only have one position when the bipod is closed. With something like the Atlas bipods, and most of the latest generation of Atlases are this way, you have a push button here to control the leg angle. And one of the marquee features, actually one of the patented features of the Atlas bipods, is the 45 degree leg position. So with an Atlas, you can go legs stowed forward, legs down 45 degrees forward, legs down 90 degrees, legs down 45 to the rear, or legs stowed directly to the rear. And I really like this ability on the Atlas bipods because when the rifle is stowed in the safe or in the bag, I will generally fold the legs all the way back so that they lay up under the forearm. This can also be beneficial if for some reason you need to get some extra height on a barricade. Then you can fold the legs back like this and set the legs on a barricade. The same thing is going with the forward position. If for some reason I am in a shooting situation where I obviously do not want to lay the barrel on a barricade, but I have something pretty far back at the rear of the rifle that I can use as a support, well, then I can shoot these legs forward, folded forward, and I can use them as a support, kind of like an extended forend to set on a barricade. Again, it's something really nice to have. And for law enforcement shooters, what I've found is if you have a shorter barrel like a 20-inch Accuracy International, and I used to do this all the time with the AE Mark II, you can kick the legs forward at 45 degrees, extend them to their longest distance, and you can set this on the windowsill of a car if you're sitting in the back seat, and your muzzle does not extend beyond the outside door of the car very much at all. Very often you can set it to where the muzzle is just extending outside of the vehicle, so you direct that blast outside the vehicle without really sticking that muzzle out to where it can cause some problems. So for law enforcement shooters, the versatility of something like the Atlas is a really, really nice thing to have. Now on the Harris bipod, you can, of course, shoot your legs forward and do the same kind of extended support kind of deal, but you obviously do not have the 45 degree angle to deal with. I was really interested when we got the Magpul bipod out because I thought it was going to have a 45 degree leg position, but, you know, reading is fundamental, and apparently I didn't read the literature because it does not. It has button locks for the legs, but when you push the button lock and flip the leg forward, it just goes stowed forward. So the only two positions you have is stowed forward or down. But you just notice something really cool about the Magpul bipod. It does have a button that locks it in the down position. So unlike the Harris, you don't have to worry about the bipod folding up on you if you rake it back. Unlike the Harris, you don't have the advantage of if you're on a barricade and want to fold the bipod up to rake it back, but it will lock in place and it won't accidentally fold up on you. Now, Obviously, the disadvantage there is that you can't do the car window trick like I did, but you can put it forward and you can extend the legs. And again, you can use them as a super long forend to be able to brace on a barricade if you want. The legs extend just by a push button down here, and they work very well. You have quite a few different extension points on the Magpul bipod. Now, again, the really cool thing of this bipod is you can have both of the legs folded up, and we're going to see if I can do this without knocking the rifle over off of the table. You can have the bipod legs in a stowed position, so if the course of fire requires this, you can move up with it stowed and then flip it down quickly. This can be beneficial if you're shooting in a stage where you have to thread the rifle through holes in a barricade and then the last shots are prone. Very often they will do a more difficult target or a longer range target from the lower positions. So you don't want to have to support it with your arms, or you don't want to have to throw a bag up there. It's nice just to be able to slap that bipod down and get it set up and ready to go. Same thing if you're a hunter, if you need to drop into position really quickly, then you can slap that down. Now, obviously, it's kind of loud when you do that, so depending upon what the range is to the animal or what kind of game animal you're hunting, that may give away your position, but it's nice that you have the option there. You can, of course, deploy them slowly if you wish, and hold that button down, and then it's relatively silent when you deploy the legs. Now, the newer Atlas bipods, the cowl, because the waist is a little bit further apart on it, it makes it a little bit more difficult to get up there and do a one-handed deployment or one-handed folding on the bipod. So I usually end up pushing the button and deploying the legs with each hand. Now, with all of the latest iterations of the Atlas bipods, the cowl, the PSR, the V8, etc., they are push button and they lock in every position, so you have to push the button every time to move the leg out of the lock. That is both a benefit and a drawback. The benefit is the bipod is not going to fold up on you when you didn't intend it. The lock is very, very strong, so you can use it to brace against a barricade. But the drawback is you are not going to snap this guy down as quick as you are with the Magpul or with the Harris. So again, we run into pros and cons. We run into personal preferences. Now we're going to talk about the leg extension really quickly. We talked about leg extension on the Magpul bipod. I'm going to talk about the leg extension on the Harris here really quick. One of the things that I really like about the swivel model Harris bipods is that when you get into position, if you have a really severely offset position, we'll use the SIG BDX box here for example. So if we have a really severely offset position where I've got a high spot and a really low spot, it's very easy for me to compensate with that with the Harris BRMS. And again, this is the swivel models because they have notched leg and spring out legs. I just simply hit the leg release and it will spring down, and now I've solved that. And now I have plenty of room in the swivel to be able to take care of the little fine tune. If I move over to another position and go, uh-oh, that's not going to work, you can just hit the leg latch and collapse the leg, punch out the opposite one, and boom, you're good to go. So the spring-loaded legs to where they spring out when you hit the latch is really nice to have. And then if you find yourself just needing to do a little bit, you can just bump the latch and hit down into the next notch, and it works out really, really well. It's really fast to get exactly what you want to have set up. Now, I'll keep this box up here and we'll demonstrate with the Atlas cowl. Now, the Atlas cowl, if you run into the same situation, and let's say that you have the waist locked out, so you have the swivel locked out. Now, with the Atlas, you just grab the collar up here and pull down, and then you're set to where you need to go. If you need to collapse it, the best way I've found to do it is to actually grab the lower leg with my hand and then with my thumb grab the collar and pull it down. The later model Atlases have a step on the collar to facilitate this. If you have an earlier one, then you can just use your pincher fingers and grab the collar, and then you can collapse it down. There is no spring loading in the legs, and it's very easy to get into the different notches, because what you do is you just unlock it, bump it slightly out of that notch, and then the weight of the rifle will push it up and lock it into the next notch. So again, really quick to do that. You just don't have the spring action of the leg shooting down when you release it. That is a double-edged sword, though, because I have gone up on barricades, and because the notches face forward, I've gone up on barricades before, hit the buttons, and deployed the bipod. Now, the bipod never deploys evenly like this when I do it, because the feet will drag across the front of the barricade, and so I'll end up with one halfway down and the other like one notch out, something really funky, and it takes me extra time when I get down at the bottom to adjust and get things set up. So there is a little bit of a drawback with those releases facing forward. Not so much with the Atlas bipods, because it's much more difficult for a bipod or for a barricade to release the legs and set them to a different angle. Now the Magpul kind of utilizes a intermediate ground between these two, where you have a button here on the back that you push, and then you have notches on the inside of the leg to allow you to adjust the height based upon that. It's easy to adjust it to where you want. I think that it's really kind of easier with the Atlas bipod, but to be fair with the Magpul, these big thumb buttons back here are really easy to get even with gloved hands, and they're really not in the way. So if you go up and slam this thing against a barricade, you're not going to push the buttons, because the buttons are on the back. So they work just fine. They really allow enough adjustment that you can get these legs just where you want them at. And then, of course, when you're ready to close them up, again, you just push the button. You can let the weight of the rifle suck them down, and then they lock in pretty securely. So really no issues there. I wish that the legs in their deployed position were a little bit shorter and you had about the same range of motion on them, but I think they were kind of going for that intermediate ground, since they only offer one length at this time. So leg deployment, again, we keep coming back to that whole personal preference. One type of leg that I kind of glossed over, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I don't actually have a model here to show you, is the thumb lock legs on the Harris bipods. The reason I don't have a model here is I really, really don't like that method of leg deployment. So on those model of Harris bipods, the spring action is exactly opposite of what it is on the BRMS. The legs have a spring that holds them in. So when you want to deploy the legs, you have to grab the foot and you pull the leg out to where you want it to be. And once you get it to that length, you hold it there, and there's a thumb screw that you turn that then engages a friction lock to hold the leg where it needs to be. Now, the disadvantages of this situation are that you have to hold the leg in place and turn that knob to lock it. If you release the leg before it's fully locked, it will collapse. The second thing is, if you don't get it fully locked, then you can be shooting and have the rifle all of a sudden collapse and cant over. If you have the bipod fully deployed on one leg and you have another leg collapse, it could actually cause your rifle to fall over. So not the greatest thing in the world. Then it's just the simple fact of you have to hold the leg and make sure you get that leg lock all the way dialed in. And the locks actually they end up facing away from you on those models, I believe. So again, it's something fiddly to deal with. Now, when you release the tension, they automatically snap back closed. You don't have to worry about them accidentally deploying on their own, but I really just do not prefer that leg adjustment. It can work. You can make it work just fine in a precision rifle type situation. The fact that there are no notches, that you have infinite adjustment in the length, is kind of handy to have. But I much prefer the notch leg situation over the friction locks. And that's one of the reasons I don't have any sitting here. Again, we're talking personal preference. So there may be guys out there that prefer the other type of leg lock over another. And that's fine. There's really no wrong answer in this because we're just worried about supporting the bipod overall. Now, one last thing that we're going to talk about are bipod feet. Now, the Harris bipod has been out forever. The patents have actually expired. And again, that's why you see things like the Caldwell bipod out here. Because it's been out forever, there are a lot of accessories out for them. We talked about the mounts. We talked about the tension knobs. But let's talk about the feet. Now, the Harris bipod feet are this kind of medium stiffness plastic or rubber. I don't know what you'd call it because it's kind of in between. It is fairly durable. I do have a couple of Harris that have the original feet on them that are looking kind of ugly now. But they work on a really wide variety of surfaces with the exception of like wet wood. If you are shooting off a wet deck, they don't grip at all. They like to slide all over the place. But for carpeting, for dirt, for rocks, then they sit in pretty well and they seem to grab a hold of. Concrete, if you get really smooth concrete, they'll slide on, but regular roughness concrete like you'd find on a pad out shooting, you're usually good to go on them. One disadvantage, though, is the way the profile is on the feet. When you sit it down, you only have one side of the foot gripping, and on the notch leg bipods, the feet can roll. It's actually the whole lower leg that is turning. So when you go to load that bipod, you can only load it a certain amount before the feet turn and the bipod will actually roll forward. When you're loading a precision rifle, that is the sign on the Harris bipod that you have reached the extent of what you can do, and pushing any further forward is going to give you no returns at all. So when you get that arch and you're holding the rifle up and then you collapse down into your shooting position, those of you that have seen our videos on the prone position know what I'm talking about. When the bipod rolls out forward, that's it. Don't push any further because then you're going to have to pull back and reset your setup. A lot of shooters really, really don't like this. And for that reason, some of them do opt for the tension screw model because the tension screw model does not suffer from that issue. Or guys will actually take thumb screws, and there's a little screw here you can remove on the BRMS, and they will put thumb screws into these models so that, again, you can lock those legs out and keep them from rolling. The aftermarket really picked this up and ran with it because there are a ton of foot options available now and foot adapters that will allow you to switch feet out. And you can go with flat metal skis, you can go with cleats, you can go with spikes. Spikes seem to be very, very popular with precision rifle competition shooters because most of the barricades that we shoot off of are beat up and torn up. So putting spike holes in them or using spikes on plastic barrels or wood barricades or old rusty farm machinery generally is not a problem. From a law enforcement environment, though, spikes can be a big problem. There have been several call-outs where I needed to use a car in a parking lot as a barricade, as a shooting support. And, you know, regardless of what the situation is, short of an active shooter engaging officers or engaging civilians at the time, you're going to have a hard time justifying planting a spiked bipod on somebody's car hood and doing $1,000 worth of damage to a car just because you wanted to be fancy and have spikes. So for that, rubber feet are a great thing to have. But when you're shooting in the competition world, ski feet or spikes or cleats or whatever else they call them, talons, all different matter of them, will allow you to adapt the bipod to the specific barricade and the specific surface that you're working on. Now, with the Harris, you just have a spring pin going through the leg holding the rubber feet on. Usually the easiest way to get these off are just to cut the feet off and then drive the pin out. And then the feet that you are installing on it will either have a facility to mount the spring pin back through, or they will have their own adapter if they're quick change type feet. And there are a ton of them out there. I tend to use the standard rubber feet on the Harris bipod. Now we get over to the Atlas bipods. Atlas, again, has a ton of options out there for the feet. But again, I tend to use the rubber feet quite a bit. I've got a set of rifle sticks, which are leg extensions that also come with a coupler type adapter that have spikes on them. I've used them at a couple of matches. I have auto ejected the legs and auto ejected the feet at a couple of matches. So I have to be really careful when I use those that I don't leave a set of feet laying on a firing line where they're caught on a barricade and pulled out. The Atlas rubber feet actually tend to be the Swiss Army knife of feet. They are much softer than the Harris, which means they will wear out a little bit quicker. Most of mine have a flat spot worn on the inside of them because from the PSR bipods on, and the cowl is the same way, the lower legs will not spin. They are fixed in one position, which means that one spot of your rubber feet are what are going to be touching the ground most of the time. And now, because these do utilize a pin here, they are easy to get in and out. I can reach over here and grab a Glock tool and engage the pin. Maybe. And pop this guy out. Of course, these are new. There we go. This is a new bipod, so it's stuck in there pretty good. But they already designed these, so you can very quickly and easily replace them with various accessories. It's a really simple setup. It's just a detent pin that is spring-loaded. You can remove it and clean it if you need to. I really haven't found the need. But they snap in and snap out, and they have an O-ring in here so that once you get them snapped in and you press that guy in, it locks in there really well. It's not going anywhere. There are spikes, there are leg extensions, there are all manner of things. But as I mentioned, I find that the regular rubber feet work well in a very, very wide variety of surfaces. If you're on mud, dirt, they will sink in pretty well. If you are on a super soupy, really muddy situation, you're going to have to throw something underneath them because they will sink pretty deeply if you're in that kind of environment. There, some kind of ski feet or basket type feet may work better. On snow, you definitely want to put something underneath them because they will sink down in snow pretty quickly. But that's an issue with just about every bipod I have come across. So with the Atlas, tons of feet options. Since they don't roll, it is easier to load the later Atlas bipods, again, the PSR and the Cal. Then you can really put some weight on them and have them stick to the surface. Once they start skipping and hopping over the surface, you probably exceeded the amount of weight that you need to put on the rifle and you're going overboard at that point. But it kind of takes a lot to get to that point. So really neat there. Now, one thing I will talk about on the Cal bipod, and we are doing a full review on the Cal bipod. We had gotten almost to the point of finishing the review on the Cal, and then B&T told us they released the Gen 2. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to finish the review on the Gen 1 when the Gen 2 is the current, and anybody buying a Cal now should be getting the Gen 2. And they do have the opportunity, customers that own the Gen 1 have the opportunity to upgrade their Gen 1 to the Gen 2. So we will be wrapping the review with the Gen 2. One major difference in the Cal bipod versus the previous generations of Atlas bipod is the Cal does not have a pan function to it. The Cal is swivel only, and Cal actually stands for cant and lock. So if I release the lock, the pod lock on the back here, then I do have side-to-side cant on the actual rifle itself. I do not have any panning ability, and because the legs run in a track underneath here, there's no rotation on the legs. So the only panning is going to be done by dragging the foot. Now, Some guys may find this beneficial, some guys may not. Initially, I didn't really like it, but shooting this in a lot of NRL 22 rimfire competitions, actually shooting the Gen 1, I didn't really notice the absence of that panning. Now, if you are doing a lot of work where you are going to have to be swinging through a great range of arc, then something like the PSR, where you still have the ball gimbal and you still have a panning function to it, may be something that you want to look into. But the advantage of the Cal is you will never have a situation where the bipod is canted versus the fore end of the rifle or the barrel of the rifle. It will always be perpendicular to the barrel of the rifle. You just have that back and forth cant to work with. So, again, personal preference. You may be catching a pattern here. A lot of the bipod support stuff has to do with personal preference. I do need to work with the Cal a little bit more in some standard PRS type competitions and type matches to see if I prefer it over the PSR. The PSR has been my longtime favorite, so that may not change. But I like the fact that BNT is going forward and the fact that you can now totally lock out the cant of the bipod or the swivel is a really nice feature. A lot of guys were asking for that. And those of you that are not familiar with the pod locks, when you lock it down, let's say, for instance, you don't want the lever sticking down like that. They do have a clutch mechanism in it, so you can pull the lever back, clock it to the side, and then it will be out of the way, so you don't have to worry about snagging it on something, etc. And these are really high quality. Again, they're made in the U.S. Terry Cross did a great job on these guys, and I really haven't had any problems with them. I have two other Harris bipods that have podlocks on them. The one that I have on my working rifle actually has a podlock on it. So they are really not that expensive. I really highly recommend that if you want to put this kind of lever on your Harris, then go buy an actual podlock. Don't buy one of the cheap Chinese ones. They break off. You can go to matches and find pieces of levers laying all over the place. The podlock ones, although there is still the possibility to catch it and break it, they're a much, much higher quality piece overall. Now, one final thing that I want to talk about on bipods real quick, and again, I mentioned it with the leg thing, is the ability to stow with the legs to the rear. Now, this is something really cool that I just figured out with the Magpul bipod. I don't know if a lot out there have done this, but with the Magpul bipod, you can actually loosen this guy enough to turn it 180 degrees. So I can flip it around to the rear. Now, that may not originally seem like a huge benefit, but the bipod that we have on here is just the two-screw Picatinny model, so it's not a QD. If I was working with something like the Harris or Atlas, it's not really necessary, but another bipod that doesn't flip both directions, then it's easy just to hit the QD, turn it around backwards, and snap it on in order to store it. This takes a tool to attach because it is the less expensive screw-on Picatinny model. But now I can just hit the releases, fold the legs up, and have it stowed underneath so I don't have to worry about the legs doing funky things, getting knocked off to one side or the other up there underneath the muzzle. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. If you run into a stage where you want to be able to fold it back like that, then you can do so. Again, you can lock it back out. And because the legs lock when they're deployed, if for some reason you want to run the bipod like that, you really can. And then when you're ready to go the other direction, instead of actually removing it from the rail, you can just unscrew the tension knob, and it is a captured knob, so it's not going to fall off. Flip it back the opposite direction. And then tighten it back down, and you're good to go. So that's just a little bit of a freebie until we get to the actual Magpul bipod review, which that should be coming up. This month is going to be the month of bipod reviews, because we have the Magpul bipod on the midline. We have the Atlas Cal on that premium price point. And then for those of you guys that are down on the budget end, we have the Caldwell XLA 6-9, which is a clone of the Harris Bipod. We will be talking about this one. Those of you guys that are in NRL 22, or you just need a solid bipod and you really don't care that it is an import model, we're going to talk about this one here. I took this out, did quite a bit of shooting on it, even though it's back in the package right now. So we'll talk about the differences between the Harris Bipod and the Caldwell XLA here in a video coming up. So if you guys have any questions or comments over any of the bipods that we've covered, or do you have counterpoints over any of the options that I mentioned, please leave it in the comment section down below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you guys have liked the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Make sure you click that little bell icon down below so you get notified when we release new content, which is weekly. And until next time, get out and shoot.